Our text this evening is Psalm 27, verses 1 and then 11. The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Verse 11, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Beloved in our Lord Jesus, Psalm 27 is a psalm of David. And it's very evident from the psalm that David was facing enemies. A great danger from those enemies. We're not sure of exactly which time in David's life, but most likely it was when his own son, Absalom, has risen against his father. Absalom and many in Israel who followed Absalom rise up in rebellion against the Lord's anointed one. It's a serious business here. For you'll remember when at different times David, when he was fleeing for his life, God put Saul in his hands and David will not touch him. He says to those around him, yea, I may not. That's the Lord anointed. Now King Saul was a wicked man. David is a righteous man, the Lord's anointed, and yet his own son Absalom is seeking to slay him. This is the church here trying to cut off the Lord's anointed, the one who is a type of our Lord Jesus. And yet at this time of danger, David is able to sing a song in the night. Do you hear the plaintive notes? While the storm is raging around, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid? What a beautiful song to sing in the midst of danger, in the midst of a storm. You and I, in following Jesus Christ, can expect many enemies who will seek our downfall to cut us off in our generations. But we're confident. This morning I used the text, and I said I had used it for baptism. Do we dare bring children into this wicked world where it's only getting more and more wicked, where the rulers of the land are bringing horrible laws? Is it going to be possible for the church to exist? And we know that in the last days, it will be a very dark time. But we're confident. The Lord gives us a mate. We procreate gladly. We're eager to bring children into the world. We're confident because this is our confession, a beautiful confession, a bold confession. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Notice in that theme, the Lord as our light and our salvation, implied is a terrible darkness. What is our light? And then our confidence in that light. Yes, darkness is implied in our text. For when he suggests that Jehovah is light, it suggests that there was darkness, terrible darkness. Darkness in the Bible suggests a figure of distress and danger and sin. And over against that darkness, he says there's light. Again, a figure for deliverance, relief from distress, hope, salvation. We read that the children of Israel would be like the stars of the heavens. The stars of the heavens shine out in all of their brightness over against the backdrop of the darkness of the night. We don't see the stars during the daytime, do we? So also now is this bold statement in the midst of the darkness around us in the world. There is a light. The Lord is my light. The Lord is my deliverance. The Lord is my hope. The Lord is my salvation. Job writes, Job 30, verse 26, when I looked for good, then evil came unto me, and when I waited for light, there was darkness. So there's this contrast, light and darkness. Oh yes, do you know that darkness? Peter writes about it, 1 Peter 2, verse 9, He who calls you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So implied in our text is darkness, a horrible darkness. Now what is this darkness now that David faced and that then we face? It is in the darkness that we need a light. David's own son, Absalom, seeking to cut off, to kill his father, David. And a multitude followed him. Yes, it was a physical, it's a real enemy. But it's also spiritual in nature, isn't it? For the psalmist identifies them as the wicked. That is, those who are enemies of God and therefore are enemies of His church. They hate and they oppose David as God's anointed one. They said, we won't have you anymore. We won't have your righteous rule. We see something in this. We see, first of all, that the church on earth is often dominated by a carnal and a reprobate element. We can expect that which is called church to be our most fierce enemy. They will hate us and persecute us the most. It wasn't the Philistines now chasing after David. It wasn't the Amorites, it wasn't the Moabites, it wasn't the Assyrians. Absalom. Oh, my son Absalom, David says. Absalom followed with willing followers. They wanted to get rid of David. Kill him. And to destroy God's covenant with his people. For the covenant is with David's house, isn't it? This isn't the first, and this isn't the last time. What Absalom and his followers try to do later on, Jeroboam and the 10 tribes will do. Set before them is the Lord's anointed one, David, and they say, we don't want his rule. We want nothing to do with Judah. And what they were really saying is, we want nothing to do with the Christ. They were opposed to David because he was bringing righteous judgment. Whereas Absalom, you will remember, was ingratiating himself with the crowd by taking bribes at the gates, saying flattery things, what the people wanted. The intent of these enemies isn't just to chase David out of the land, get rid of him as a king. No, it is to kill David. Put an end to that dynasty and start over. God's covenant is centered with Israel in David and David's house. And behind those human elements, Absalom and the many who followed him in his army, there's none less than Satan, the prince of darkness. Satan, as he rises up continually, whether it be Cain against Abel, whether it be Esau against Jacob, or now whether it be Absalom against David, or later on a Herod against Christ, always trying to take the Lord's anointed one and snatch him away, destroy him, and therefore destroy God's people and win a victory against God. Darkness. By these horrible enemies, and this psalm speaks about those enemies over and over again, doesn't it? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and they fell. Verse 2. Though a host should encamp against me, verse 3. Though war should arise against me. And then verses 11 and 12. Lead me in a plain path because of my enemies, verse 12. Deliver me not over into the will of my enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. But worse in this darkness for David is to know that these enemies are seeking his life. It's a darkness brought about because of his own sin. Horrible sins that David had committed, that his house was divided and would be against him and there would be bloodshed. Nathan had told David about that earlier. Oh, the darkness of sin. Darkness because those enemies are superior in strength to us and resources. If it's Satan, especially working behind the scenes, think of it a moment. He has had some 6,000 years of training in deceit and murder. What hope do we have? The darkness that descends upon David in his life is a darkness that descends upon each one of us in our lives. To destroy us. You see, we face really the same spiritual enemies. No, hopefully, beyond even sometimes even in our own house, isn't it? Children that we've raised up to love turn against us bitterly because of our stand for Christ Jesus, our love for His church. Behind them, it's Satan. Satan who wants, because he was unable to take the Christ, goes after the bride of Christ, the woman in the wilderness. Expect those enemies in your life as you confess Christ Jesus. We said this morning, Peter knows it all too well, the devil goes about like a roaring lion seeking to destroy. What a reminder to us, the devil is not some little pussycat to play around with. A roaring lion seeking to devour, his fangs are waiting there. Be on your guard. The devil doesn't work alone. Even if Absalom didn't work alone, he first got many in Israel to like him and they followed him. The devil has in his train not only many demons, But he has the world in his train, and they will do whatever he desires them to do willingly. What a warning for us as we are pilgrims in this world, as we heard this morning. This world that we live in is not a friend to grace. It's not your friend. It never will be your friend. Oh, that world is going to come to woo you. Isn't that what King Balak did with the Midianites and the Moabites? He saw the people of God coming to the promised land. He was scared of them. And first of all, they act like they're friends. We don't have to fight. Come join us. That is, after he failed to get Balaam, the wicked prophet, to curse them. You see, that wicked prophet and Balak really thought that if God would curse the people, if God would forget his covenant, he could destroy them. But God doesn't forget his covenant. And unable to get God to curse his people, he figures, if I lead them into sin, then surely God will detest them. Do you see those Midianites and those Moabites cuddling up to the Israelites and saying, listen to our music. Wouldn't you like to dance our dances and sing our tunes? Wouldn't you like to enter and date our girls and our boys and enter into marriage together? Look, the land is wide and we can live together, have all things in common with one another. But God's grace is not common. God loves the righteous, not the wicked, and that's why there must be antithesis. The world is going to try to seduce you. Don't you like our products? Don't you like what we have to offer? Wouldn't you rather live our kind of life, a fun life, a pleasurable life to the flesh, instead of the stodgy kind of life of going to church and behaving yourself? And when they cannot woo us, then they will turn in bitterness against us. When they cannot get us to join their policies of inclusion for everyone, the homosexual lifestyle also, then they become very intolerable. You see, they want us to be tolerable. Join them with their policies, and when the church says no, then they become intolerable. Then they have no place for the church any longer. Oh, the world is not a friend to grace. Don't ever think it is. You young people, don't start winking at boys or girls in the world who do not share your faith. They are a snare. They will lead you astray. The devil comes with his demons. The world is out there to seduce us or to attack us. And the enemy is within. The false church comes to compromise. The false church comes with its heresies, teachings that are more agreeable to our sinful flesh. And God's people, yes, they are the cause of the problem. They have itching ears. We don't want to hear the old things any longer, the hard doctrines. Make it more easy for us so that we can live with one foot in the world and one foot in the church and still feel comfortable. Even as David's enemies arose from out within the church itself, Israel, our enemies, our most fierce enemies, will be from within the church, the false church. And I wish I could end there, but the danger, the darkness that we face, isn't the devil and his legion. It isn't the world seducing. It isn't even the false church. You know who the greatest enemy is? When we're pointing at all those other things, there's so many fingers pointing back here. Here's the greatest danger. Our sinful flesh. Our sinful heart. Our sinful nature that is at war in our members. Apostle Paul knew that, didn't he? I see within my members a war going on. So that the good that I would, I do not, and that which I would not, that I do, O wretched man that I am. At times we're overwhelmed with all of these enemies and we're ready to throw in the towel. We're overwhelmed with the sins and the temptations to sin. At times we're overwhelmed with the troubles of the Christian walk, whether it be sicknesses or losses that cause us to despair. And we say, and yes, David said it at times, has God forgotten? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has God forgotten to care for me? No hope. That's the darkness, when there's no hope. Where is God? But the bold, the beautiful confession of the child of God, by grace, the Lord is my light and my salvation. And you'll notice again that the Lord is in capital letters, Jehovah. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, we read, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. It's not all darkness. Jehovah shines forth as a light. Jehovah, that's the name. Jehovah, a name that means covenant friend. A friend sticketh closer than anyone else, will never leave us. Jehovah has established a relationship with us in Christ Jesus, never abandoning us. That's what our marriages should be all about. Picturing that relationship between the covenant God and His people. God never abandons His own, His bride. Christ never abandons His bride. How wonderful to know that God dwells and lives with us, blessing us. The powers of darkness seek to destroy that life that we have with Christ, that relationship with Christ, to lead us astray. But Jehovah comes. Jehovah stands there. And all things else have to be melt away. Jehovah is my light. And now there's parallelism. What does this light mean? You'll see in verse 1, it means He's my salvation. He is the strength of my life. That's what light means. It looks like the darkness is going to swallow me up. It looks like just the enemies are going to completely destroy me. It looks like Satan is going to be able to snatch me away. But Jehovah. Notice His salvation and His strength was not in that ragtag army that followed Him out of Jerusalem that day. His strength and His wisdom or his strength and his salvation was not in his own intelligence as an aged king knowing what to do with this kind of situation. His salvation and his strength was not his alliances that he had with others. He was left pretty much all alone with a small little group. But Jehovah is his light because he is the strength of his life. You know that. Not who I am, who you are. We're all weaklings. Foolish, sinful. We heard that this morning. But our alliance with God, or God's alliance with us, his relationship of friendship, we're his own. No one can touch his own without touching him. How close is that relationship? It's the closeness of the head with the body. You can't touch the body without the head hurting. Try hitting your nail, your finger with a hammer. And your head knows the pain of the body. No one can touch the Lord's people without touching the Lord himself. He is our salvation because he's our strength. He is the one who enabled now David in hope to do battle, to send forth his armies. He is the one who kept David, the anointed one, so that David then would be able to rule and to care over his covenant people. Now perhaps you're saying, this is such ancient history, why do we have to rehash this history? David was a king. David had to flee away from Jerusalem because his own son Absalom was chasing after him. And in the end, God gives the victory to King David. Absalom is killed and David comes back to Jerusalem. What does that have to do with us? Well, because this psalm, as it speaks of David, speaks of David as a type. And many of these very verses, of course, as we read them, you could say, this is exactly the word that Jesus is speaking from the cross. The enemies come against him. Whether it be Herod when he was a little baby, whether it be Pilate, whether it be Caiaphas, and all the priests and the leaders of Israel. Jehovah is our light and our salvation. He's our light in Christ Jesus, God's anointed one. And that's why the Gospels begin, John 1 verse 5, light shined in the darkness. David, here is a picture of the Lord Jesus, who comes into the darkness of this world, the darkness because of our sin, in order to suffer and die in that darkness. Do you see the darkness getting darker and darker there for those 3 hours as he's hanging there on the cross? Jehovah, Jesus Christ, is our light. What does the light do? Don't you like it about this time of the year at 5 o'clock in the morning? The darkness is being dispelled because the light is arising. For those who suffer depression, how wonderful it is when the darkness of storm clouds disappear and the sunshine comes out again. Or those who are depressed, waiting for morning to come. And then there comes the sunshine and the darkness disappears. Jehovah is our light and our salvation. We can put there the words Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He is our light, dispelling the darkness of our sin, the darkness of God's wrath against our sin. Jesus Christ arose as the sun with healing in his wings, again from Scripture, in order to take that darkness
and get rid of it for us. He comes as the defender, the savior of his church. Oh, what darkness he was subjected to. But he was strengthened, wasn't he? The Lord is our light and salvation. He is my strength, says David. You remember how, boys and girls, when Jesus was tempted there in the wilderness for 40 days, and then angels came and ministered unto him, strengthened for his whole life ahead. And when he was standing there in the garden of Gethsemane, dropping, as it were, great drops of blood, and we read that angels ministered unto him so that he could go to the darkness of the cross and do the will of God. To bear all of our sins in our place. What a captain, what a king of his people. What lengths he goes to save and deliver his people as God's anointed one. No wonder Satan wanted to cut him off. Christ is our salvation. Christ is our strength. And it's Christ who strengthens us against those enemies. When the devil would snatch us, when the world would seduce us, when the false church would allure us with its false doctrine, and don't think it doesn't. Don't think it doesn't. How I have seen old conservative ministers. They would take a strong stand on divorce, remarriage. The biblical stance. Until they hit their family. And then all of a sudden they were singing a different tune. Oh, the flesh of ours. We need to be strengthened against that flesh that wants to hear things that will make our life easier. Jehovah, Christ Jesus. That is the bold, beautiful confession that we make in the midst of a storm, in the midst of darkness. The Lord, our light. Notice in the psalm then the confidence in that confession. The psalmist asks a couple rhetorical questions. Whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? No, this is not the little boy now whistling in the dark, hoping the boogeyman is going to go away. This is a bold confidence. Yes, it is dark out there. It's a simple world, and I am a lonely pilgrim. But I have confidence. My God. That's my confidence. Nothing else. He turns to the Lord. And that's what we do too. You see, the sermon fills on this morning's, where do we look? Not at ourselves, not around us. Our hope is not in horses and chariots. The Lord. The Lord is my light and salvation. He is the strength of my life. Our eyes always have to be on the Lord Jesus Christ. Boys and girls, another story from the New Testament. Do you remember Peter? Jesus was walking to them on the water. He's eager to be with Jesus. He gets out of the boat and he's walking on the water also. And all of a sudden he starts looking around. And it's pretty dark out there and the waves are pretty high and the wind is blowing. As he looks away from Jesus, he starts sinking like a stone. In water. I don't know what troubles, trials you're working through. Maybe your own sins of the past are haunting you. Troubles in marriage, family, work. Don't take your eyes off Jesus. Not even for a moment. It's dark out there. The Lord is my light and salvation. He's the strength of my life. And because that's the case, because we make that confession, then we have a request in verse 11. Lord, teach me thy way. Lead me in a plain path. Because of those seducing enemies out there. Lord, teach me. David knows that the trouble that he is in right now in his life is because of his own sin and his mistakes and his foolishness in his life. That's why the Lord has raised up one of his own household, Absalom, against him. That's why the kingdom is divided or being divided. Oh, can we see that in our own lives? Nowadays, when people have troubles in their life and they go to the psychiatrist, somehow the psychiatrist wants to lead them back to the parents and so they can blame everyone else. Here's why you got problems in your life. And yes, some of our problems might come from those outward elements, but we got to recognize, now here, the buck stops here. This is where all my troubles and trials come from, my own sinfulness. And so when we say, the Lord is my light and my salvation, the strength of my life, and the trouble here begins here, that's my greatest enemy. Lord, lead me. Lord, teach me. Lord, forgive me. Lord, give me grace so that I look and lean only upon Thee. Lord, teach me. How does the Lord teach you? Not some kind of little inner voice that's going to speak to you. The Holy Spirit is pleased to use means. Just as the gardener uses a hoe in the garden, as the carpenter uses the hammer for his work, the Holy Spirit uses a tool, the means of grace. Lord, teach me. Don't make this confession, the Lord is my light and my salvation and my strength, if we don't want to listen to Him. If we don't want to take time to listen to Him in His Word. Teach me. Well, listen. Read. Study. Teach me. O Lord, Thy way. Lead me. How is He going to lead you? Thy Word is a lamp to my feet, says the psalmist. A light upon my path. Lead me. How I need the Spirit of Christ to lead us as pilgrims in this world through all the different dangers. Just as a young man might need that flashlight to walk on that path in the dark, we need the Spirit's illuminating light of the Word. How must I live? How must I conduct myself? Where must I hope? Lead. May this be your confession and your request for this week and the next week. Lord, Jehovah, Covenant God, Thou art my light, my salvation, my strength. Teach me. Lead. That way, we're prepared here on this Sabbath day for service in this coming week. Amen.